Well, good morning again. Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. It's great to gather together, to take communion together, to worship the Lord as a body of Christ, as a family of God. You know, we are who we are by the power of God, aren't we? By the grace of God, by the mercy of God, and by His power, we are the children of God. So I would ask you to go ahead and turn your Bibles open with me as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 15 today. For a message I've entitled, The Transcendent Power of God. Paul, what he's doing here, he's continuing to focus us. We've been going through some of the passages before, spending some time in what he's talked to before, and he's been focusing us on different aspects of God's Word and God's truth. Today he focuses us on, as he continues, on how are we going to live out this new life that we have in Christ. It is truly by the power of God that transcends our own abilities, that transcends our limitations. As much as we've been looking at the last few weeks, that we've been looking at our responsibility for us to focus our thoughts and for us to focus our hearts and to focus our perspective on the truth of Christ and the reality of Christ and the character and nature of our Lord and Savior, as we looked at it, to be committed to being followers of Him, to being obeying His Word, we looked at that as our responsibility for us to be looking intently at the glory of the Lord, looking intently at the truth of Christ, seeing His glory to sustain this life that God has given us. As much as it is our responsibility for us to do that, to keep it on track, it is God's transcendent power that sustains it. Now, that almost sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? So we're to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We're to keep our focus on the Lord and His truth. But it's the power of God that sustains us. I remember when I first saw this in Scripture, it's called the perseverance of the saints. And I understood that when I was studying this, and I called up a great friend of mine, and I just called him up, and I just told him, hey, I'm going to make it, because the power of God is going to make sure I make it. As much as God calls us to persevere, as much as God calls us to endure, we're to be faithful, we're to be committed, we're to fight the good fight, as much as God says that we're going to endure and persevere and fight the good fight, by the power of God, you will persevere, you will endure, you will fight the good fight, you will remain faithful. That's the perseverance of the saints, of what the Bible teaches us. That's Paul's focus here in our text. By God's power, He has placed in us this life to be lived. By God's power, we live it. By God's power, we proclaim it, its truth. And by God's power, we glorify Him as we live it and proclaim it. It's just incredible to really, as you study the Word of God and you see what Paul has just taught us from chapter 3 into what we're getting into, that God has made us adequate as servants of Christ, or the new covenant relationship that we have with God, that God is at work in our life and what the new covenant is about, and that we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and have our responsibility in that. Now he turns to show us that it's God's transcendent power in our life that's bringing this about. You remember what he said back in earlier in chapter 3, our adequacy, our capability is truly not of ourselves, but it's from him. And later in chapter 12, when we get there, he's going to tell us that he's accepting that the power of Christ dwells in him, so he embraces his own weakness, so the power of Christ will be his strength. So as we read our text, let's look at it with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 15, as we focus in on the Word of God today. Let's set our hearts on what Paul is talking about here, the transcendent power of God as it sustains us, as it keeps us on track, as it works in our life for God's glory. Listen to what Paul wrote here, God's Word. He says this, verse 7, but contrasting what he said previously, and we'll get into that. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body. Now that body, that's our physical body, us, carrying around in our body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace that which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Here Paul is encouraging us to see, to us understand the power of God that's active in our life. He begins by saying it in verse 7. Listen to what he says. He says this, first he says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. By the power of God, God has filled the vessel with a treasure. Listen, God filled the vessel with a treasure by the power of God. And it's a contrast, but in the text, look at that. So, but what's before it? What's the contrast? We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. So the greatness of the power of God won't be of ourselves, but it is from God. So what's the contrast to? Look at 4:6. This is what he's talking about. 4:6, he said this, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining in the face of Christ. What he's speaking about in that text, what he's talking about is the creative act of God, that God spoke light into existence by the power of God out of nothing, ex nihilo, out of nothing. God said, let there be light. And that's what he's talking about. By the power of God, he said, let there be light, and there was light. It would be like this. And if God said, hey, everybody that believes in me now turns blue, we would all turn blue. It's by the power of God that God's shown light into your heart, that he enlightened our heart to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, to the true knowledge of salvation found in Christ, and God spoke it. We all right, guys? And that's what he's talking about here. It's by the power of God that God has illuminated your heart. He spoke light, transcendent power. He spoke light of the gospel. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, he said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. So through the gospel, through the truth of Christ, God spoke into our life, into our heart, and pierced the darkness. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Paul wrote it this way. Paul says, all I did was proclaim the simple truth of Jesus Christ. I just proclaimed the gospel. And it came in the Holy Spirit with power, and you believed in the Lord. It came with power, and God pierced the darkness of your heart by his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 and 5, Paul said it this way. He said, I didn't come preaching in pervasive words of man's wisdom. He said, I came in sharing Christ with weakness and fear like you. Just proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, just proclaiming the gospel, and in a demonstration of God's power, you believed. The power of God is why we believe. The power of God is the only thing that can pierce the darkness. I can't pierce the darkness. My words of myself can't pierce the darkness, but God's word and his truth about the gospel with God's power pierces our heart with the truth of Christ, and we believed. You have treasure in this vessel because of the transcendent power of God. It transcended your mind, your ability, your capability, your limitations. For you to see the truth of Christ, and that's what Paul is bringing up here. We have this treasure because of God's power to speak light into our heart. It's shown in our heart to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, and you see. So now your faith rests, Paul says, in the power of God, not in the pervasive words of man, not in man's wisdom. Our faith rests in the power of God. It doesn't rest in man's wisdom or man's way to speak things, or it rests in the power of God to transform lives, to change our hearts, to guide our direction through the power of his word that God stands behind to transform our life and to bring salvation to people. Colossians 2:12 says it this way. Paul wrote it this way. He said, by the superpower of God, he raised you up from being spiritually dead. It's absolutely by the power of God that you have this treasure in an earthen vessel. He says, but he filled the vessel with a treasure. What's the treasure, you guys? You ever read that and go, so we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, not from ourselves. What's the treasure? Well, you see, I got my little visual helps up here today. This is my treasure up here in these clay pots. There's some treasure. Now, my treasure up here is chocolate. That might be the treasure that we're filled with, right? Chocolate, right? And let me let you know, after the end of the service today, all of you youngsters that want to come up, you guys can have the chocolate. So you can get excited about that today and think about that. But what's the treasure? What are we filled with? What is this container filled with? What is the treasure? Well, it's been what we've been studying for a month, for 4 weeks. Let that flow through your mind and heart. What we've been studying, the ability to see God's glory with an unveiled face and unveiled heart. You are able to look into the face of Christ in God's word and see God in all his truth. It's a privileged look. It's a merciful look, a purifying look, a humble look, a truthful look, a transforming look that brings gratitude, strength, humility, hope, contentment, peace, and joy to humanity. It transforms our lives as we look into the Lord and apply it to our lives, transforms the very living and all aspects that we have. It's a new covenant relationship that we now have with God himself, forgiven, accepted, adopted into God's family as his own, a treasure where God has made you adequate, has made you capable, has made you able of being a minister of what that relationship looks like in this world, living out it, proclaiming its truth, where God displays his gospel, his salvation, his light through you to pierce the darkness in other people's lives. That treasure. That's the treasure that's in you. Isn't that incredible what you carry? Well it over in your mind. A new covenant relationship with God. Not an old covenant relationship with God. A new one. Where your sin's been paid for. You've been bought. You've been reconciled. Purchased. Redeemed. You're God's own possession. You're in the family of God. And you have now free access to God in everything. And have this relationship with him. A new covenant one. Where God has made you adequate to live this life. In such a way that it will reflect what it looks like to have a real true relationship with God. To where you can look into the word of God. And you can look into the truth of God. See his ways. See his reality. See the glory of God. See the revelation of God. And look at it with intention and say, God, how does that work out in my life? And have all hope, all gratitude, all thanksgiving, all joy, all contentment as God guides your life and by a supernatural way starts transforming the way you live to where you look like Jesus Christ. And then what he does is he lets your life, your words and your deeds pierce the darkness in somebody else's life and bring them to salvation. That treasure. Isn't that incredible? You didn't know what you carried around with you, did you? This is what Paul is talking about. That's the treasure. It's the truth of Jesus Christ. You can just put it gospel. You can say it that way, but what we've been learning and what we've been going through for 3 or 4 weeks was for us to really grab hold of what's the treasure that we carry. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 44 through 46, this is what he said, that anyone who found this treasure would gladly give up everything to own it. That's what he said. That was the parable that Jesus said. When anybody would find this treasure that we have, this new covenant relationship with God and all of that, I won't go through it again. But when anybody found it, they would just gladly give up everything to own it. If you could give this gift of this treasure to someone, would you give it? Do you know what Paul said in Romans 9? He said, I would gladly be accursed. I would gladly be separated from a relationship with Christ if I could give it to the Jewish people. He said, I'd give it up. That's how worth it is to God's people, the Jewish people. He said, I'd give this up. It's so important for us to understand this, that I would do this. I would give it up for you to have. By the transcended power of God, he filled this vessel with that treasure. You know man didn't do that, right? By the power of God, this is what he's done. Through Jesus Christ, this is what he's done. This is what's happened in our life. So what kind of vessel is it? He says right in the text, it's a kind of vessel so that the vessel knows that it's by the surpassing greatness of the power of God, not of you. Or you can use the superabounding power of God, not of you, or the exceedingly abundantly power of God, not of you, because the word here in the original is hyperbolos in the Greek, where we get hyperbole, and that word means just over the top power. And that's what he's talking about. This treasure we have in a earthen vessel, this kind of a container, you and me, is so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, not of ourselves. So we understand it's the power of God active in our life, power of God doing what he's doing. It's not by our power. He put it in a container that was what it is so we would understand this. So we would know and trust in it and believe in it and look to him for it and have faith in what God was going to do. Now, this vessel that he's talking about that contains this treasure, so it knows that it's that it was filled, that it's sustained, that it's used by God, is by God's power, not its own power, he says, an earthen vessel. Well, the vessel, the word in the text, vessel, means container, jar, pot, vessel, you can call it anything. And earthen is an adjective to describe the container. Now, let me tell you, he's not telling you what it's made of. He's not talking about an earthen vessel pot. You know, you see clay pot, you see that in my text, clay pot, but he's not talking about it being made of clay. He's not describing what it's made of. He's not describing that it's bigger and littler and taller and that kind of, he's not describing that. That's not what the word is describing. It's an adjective to describe the vessel. It's not describing its shape, size, color, or what it's made out of. It's describing its condition. Lowly, fragile, frail, feeble. That kind of container is you and me. That's what he's describing. That's what he wants us to capture. And you carry the treasure of God by the power of God in that. He knows our frailty. He knows our weakness. He knows all about us. He doesn't say, pull up your bootstraps, put on your strength, and knuckle down, and you do what you're supposed to do. He says, in faith, commit your life to me, and I will do it. That's what he wants us to understand today. Yes, you put in your effort. Yes, God says to persevere, to endure, to remain faithful, to be committed to him, to fight the good fight. But God says, by the power of God, you will persevere, you will endure, you will remain faithful, you will be committed because of my power. See, this is what God is wanting us to understand and wanting us to know in this life. That's the container that it's in. And you guys understand the text. That's me. That's you. A feeble. Look at what I made a mess. Forgive me, Josh. You see what he's talking about here? It's so we know the power, where it comes from. Now, Brian read this for you today. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 1 with me. And I just want to show you in the Word of God, when Paul talked to us about this before, when Paul was talking to Christians in the book of Ephesians, what a great book to go through all of the truth of what God has done in chapter 1, that God, before the foundation of the world, that God has worked in our life, predestined, God is saving us, that what God has done, and we just believed in him, and he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is talking about Christianity, and when you came to Christ, and when you have believed in Christ, and probably early in your faith in Christ, in verse 15, look at it with me. And so here Paul is writing to the church, and you know, you understand everybody is a young Christian here. Everybody's newer in their faith in God and their faith in Christ and have this salvation, this treasure in their life. Everybody's kind of new in that. It's new in the world. It's new in the church. It's going along. And listen to what he says. He says, for this reason, verse 15, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints. That's what a believer is, a Christian. Yeah, I believe. I have a faith in Christ, a true faith in Christ, trying to follow him. And then God gave me a love for these crazy Christians that I'm around, all these strange people. He's given this to me in my life. I have that. He says this, verse 16. For all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you. I thank the Lord for his salvation of you. I thank God that he's brought you to salvation. I thank God for you and your faith in the Lord while making mention of you in my prayers. I thank God for you. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants God to show us, to give us an understanding of how to apply God's word and a revelation, an understanding of who God is and who we are. Okay, revelation, you. Understand, you. Apart from the power of God, us. Filled with darkness. Filled with our own thoughts, filled with our own things of what the world's about. God pierces it by his power, fills it with a treasure in this fragile, frail container. Praying, asking God to show you who you are and who he is. Verse 18, and I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Listen to Paul's plea for the church, the body of Christ, for us. That the very depth of our soul will be able to see and know, gnosko in the Greek, to have an understanding and perceive what God has done, what is the hope of our calling, I'm still learning that. How about you guys? I mean, it's greater hope every day I study that. The hope that I have in Christ Jesus of what's going on in my life and what his plan is and what the eternal plan is. And Tom, what you're talking about, it's Sunday school. And can we fathom what awaits? And what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, he says. Pray and ask God for you to see the truth of reality of who he is and who we are. Then look what he says. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness, same word, hyperbole, over the top of his power toward us who believe? You cannot describe how much power God has worked in your life. We don't even know it in our infinite mind, finite mind. We just grab what God has to say. God changed life. Listen to what it says, verse 19. Pray, ask God for enlightening in your heart. What is the surpassing greatness of the power toward us who believe? This was in accordance with the working. You know what that means? That's the superpower of the strength of his super might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. The same power that raised Jesus from physical death, Romans 8:11. God raised you from spiritual death and gave life, treasure, to the clay pot, to your mortal body. That's what Paul wants us to understand. Doesn't that fix your hope and your heart and what we've been learning with, that we want to focus on the Lord and we want to focus on Christ and we want to focus on his word and we want to keep our eyes there, knowing that the power of God is active in our life, doing the things that God is going to bring about? Doesn't that help you? That's what God is wanting us to see and understand and know here. Back to 2 Corinthians. So God has filled this earthen vessel, this clay pot, with treasure by the transcending power of God. You carry this treasure. Second, in our text, that power sustains the clay pot. Look what he says in verse 8 and 9. Now capture where he goes. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You see it now, don't you? We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. That word afflicted, we studied that when we did 2 Corinthians chapter 1, when we went on all the afflictions in there. Let me give you a simple one. It means pressure. That's the base word of this mean, pressure, to press down, to have pressure. Think of a wine press with me, okay? Here's a wine press, right? You put some wine, it's got some sides on it, and you put some grapes in there in the wine press, and you crank that baby down. And it just squeezes those grapes. That's affliction. God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God will comfort everyone that's been afflicted. And the afflictions of everybody has God, the God of comfort will come comfort us. But Paul says, by the power of God, we're squeezed down, afflicted in this life. You have affliction in this life? Trouble, difficulty, things coming against you, bad foot, bad knee, job doesn't work out. Affliction, those that come against us as containers that carry the treasure. And it says, in this life, we'll pressure down on it and squeeze it. You know what he said? By God's power, that grape won't be crushed. The only way I'm sustained, the only way the world doesn't overwhelm me and the things that come in this life. Think about the Christians, what Paul's talking about. Think about Paul's life and what he's going through. He's walking here in the strength of God, in the power of God, and most of us in his life, we definitely would have had to know the mercy of God, the grace of God, to sustain us because, and the power of God, because most of us would have not made it through that. But see, listen to what God's saying in your life and whatever's squeezing down on you, as you keep your eyes focused on Christ, the power of God is not allowing you to be crushed. Because without the power of God, we'd be crushed. Isn't that incredible what God is talking to us about? Yes, we get down, it's that crushed. Not all bound up, can't move, can't live. He's saying we're able to continue. We are perplexed, but not despairing, he says. Perplexed means heart is failing within us. Sometimes your heart fails within you. Perplexed. not knowing how to proceed, not knowing how to speak, hesitant, confused about what God's got going on, why he's got going on, what's happening with this Lord. I am perplexed. I don't know. You know what, Lord? I'm just trying to trust in you. I got no reasoning here. I can't figure this out. I'm perplexed. I don't know. I'm hesitant, not knowing. I don't even know what to say. But he says, but not despairing. We are not utterly at a loss because of the power of God. When we look at the face of Christ and we have our eyes on him and his truth, God keeps us from total despair, from utter loss, like Job. Persecuted but not forsaken, to be assaulted by God's enemy, that's persecution, but never left alone to face it alone. The Lord never leaves us. By the power of God, God is with us in all things, through all things, with us in all things, and that's what he's meaning. Struck down but not destroyed. That means two things here. To be struck down, to be thrown down, but not beaten to a pulp. In this life, to be struck down, to things just to lose your job, and the car doesn't work, and the things, just think about life and what's going on in life. This is the Christian. This is the reality that we have in Christ. By the transcendent power of God, more than your strength, more than even in your heart of what you know, more than any of that, it transcends our abilities, it transcends our infirmities, it transcends, you know, the things that are, and you know, everything life going just not the right way. I'm thrown down, but I'm not beaten to defeat. But it also means this, to fail or to fall. Listen to me, church, it means that if you fail the Lord or you fall, you don't do what God has you to do. But it's not to the point where you can't get back up with God. That's what he's talking about. That is so important. By the power, the transcendent power of God, we fail. And don't ever listen to the enemy to tell you, you can't get back up, because the power of God says, turn your eyes toward me, put your hope in me, look at my face, and by the power of God, any Christian that fails or falls can get back up. That's God. That's God. Now, does he want us to fail? No. Does he want us to fall? No. Does he want us to get into despair? No. He doesn't want any of that. We want to keep our eyes fixed on him, but what sustains us is God's power. You see, his power transcends the natural life itself. And he just is beginning here to talk about it. It also, through all of this, listen to what he says, it manifests the life of Jesus through the clay pot. Meaning by God's power, he displays the life of Christ, the reality of salvation, through that fragile, feeble container. Listen to what he says in verse 10 through 12. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus. That's suffering, guys. So that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death's sake. That's martyr to them, you guys. For Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So Paul is saying, for him, being martyred to them, death, you know, remember first chapter here? Death was like, hey, man, we were going to die, you know, we were just going to let it go. And just, you know, if we were going to preach tomorrow, God was going to have to raise the dead. I mean, that was his heart attitude. So death works in us, life in you. Listen, the dying of Jesus in the body is the suffering of this life we experience. Anybody suffer in this life? By the power of God, you know what he's doing? He's manifesting the life of Jesus in you. What the text just said. That's what by the power of God, what he's doing in your life. He's, when I'm suffering, man, I'm kind of pretty much manifesting the life of Ken Rollins and his self-gratification plus the attitude. God said, yeah, but by my power, I'm working in you to manifest the life of Christ in the midst of those difficult, hard things. In the midst of all the struggle, all the pain, all the suffering, even martyrdom to death of being killed, by God's transcendent power, he's making visible the life of Christ. Isn't that incredible? That's what God is saying. I'll never forget that story with ISIS. I told it one other time here, but I'll never forget it. 21 guys on the beach. ISIS is there, and they're beheading them. They're just going down the line. And the guys are going, yes, I have faith in Christ. He's Lord and Savior. Do you have faith in Christ? Yes. Then they do. They kill him. And they come to this guy, and he says, I have faith in their Lord. First time ever. If you think God can't manifest the truth of Christ, the life of Christ, in a life. Here they are, they're beheading him, and manifested it to that guy that never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he got beheaded into the kingdom with God. By the power of God. By all that guy did was keep his eyes fixed on the Lord. And by the power of God, he manifested the life of Christ to the guy standing next to him, and he believed. He pierced the darkness. You see, that's what God is doing in our life, church, body of Christ, family of God, in everything, everywhere, simple ways, and a lot of relaxed ways. He's working to manifest the life of Christ. See, the God is about Christ and about the life of Christ being manifested in you and in me and the light of Christ being seen. So the power of God fills the vessel with treasure, sustains the vessel through adversity, and manifests the life of Christ in all difficulties. And then he says next, and proclaims the truth of salvation through the container's mouth. Look at verse 13 through 15. Look what he says next. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Listen, you have the power of God right in your mouth to speak the gospel. What changes somebody's life? Romans 1:16, what does it say, folks? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto you. Speak the gospel. What does God do? That's what happened in my life. It just needed to be spoke 100 times, maybe 200 times to me, and finally God, I mean, I had so many friends in college, so many baseball friends, so many people that I knew, and all that kind of stuff, and then God spoke through one of these, the gospel, and there it was, pierced my heart, there it was, pierced to the truth, I believed in Christ. That's what it is, it's in your mouth. See, God says, I'm manifesting the life of Christ in your life, and he said, and I'm speaking and proclaiming the power of God to save through your mouth. He didn't have to, did he? He didn't have to. God can talk out of a rock, right? Or donkey. Or the other word for donkey. But he said, what I'm doing by the power of God, I'm speaking out of this. Isn't that incredible? This is God's work, God's design, God's power, what he's doing. He said, and we speak because we believe. When you believe, you speak. 3:12 says, hey, I have all hope. So I, with all boldness, I'm proclaiming the gospel because I have all hope. The rest of the text, he says this, knowing, verse 14, knowing even if we are killed for speaking the truth of Christ, even if they come and they take us out on the beach one by one, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound in the glory of God. You carry as a part of the treasure the truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Words shared about Christ. And he came to rescue sinners, to give them life, new life in Christ, to pay the penalty of their sin. The Son of God, God himself, and God the Father raised him from the dead so whoever would believe could have life. And you have that life, and I have that life, and you have that truth, and I have that truth right here in my mouth, and grace spreads to more and more people by God's power through you speaking. You got to be overwhelmed with the privilege. You just got to think, wow, think about what God just told us. That the transcendent power of God works right out of here as I tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, we're not the ones responsible for who hears, who doesn't hear, who believes, who comes. But he gave us in the treasure, we have the words. The power of God unto salvation. They're right here. You know the gospel, right? You know the truth of Christ, that it alone saves. It is the answer to everybody's life, that there's nothing else to the answer to anybody's life. And anybody that doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, where are they going to spend eternity? With their friends and family? Where are they going to spend eternity? Apart from God, it's called what? Boy, we have a hard time even saying the word, don't we? And you walk around with the power of God unto salvation that can change that. It transcends your ability, your limitations, and God wants us to speak. This is what Paul is teaching. Hey, we're just teaching. This is all in defense of the false teachers coming and saying, don't listen to Paul. He's wrong. Listen to us. God came to fix our world, to fix our life, to do whatever we want him to do by our words. Sound like a false teacher to you? He said, oh, no, no. The only power I gave in your words is the gospel. And speak them. The transcendent power of God works in them. I'm over all of your life. I'm manifesting the life of Christ in you. I'm using you to pierce the darkness. That's transcendent power, isn't it? You received mercy so God could proclaim Christ through you and pierce the darkness. 1 Peter 2:9. That's what it says. 1 Peter 4:11 says, whoever speaks, do so as one speaking the utterances of God from the power which God supplies. Speak the utterances of God. You see, the transcendent power causes glory to abound to the Lord. Final point. Look at verse 15 again. Verse 15, look at the final point he says here. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people. How does grace spread? By our life and our words. That's how the truth of Christ gets out. He's manifesting the life of Christ in you, and he's preaching the truth of Christ out of you. By the power of God, the grace is spreading to more and more people, may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of the Lord. Listen, the filling of the vessel, the sustaining of the vessel, the manifesting of the life of Christ, the proclaiming of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ through the vessel, by the power of God, is causing God to be glorified. It's causing God, causing for gratitude to abound to the glory of God. This is the life that we carry in the vessel. What an incredible thing that he just taught us, right? That he just put in our heart, that we just are understanding what God is doing in this world. This is the life for those who have found the treasure and carried it in a fragile vessel. And here's where God brings our heart in conclusion today. Two things he brings to our heart. As we heard the word of God, as we heard God's truth this morning, as we hear what God has to say preaching to us, here's our exhortation, our exclamation. It would be Ephesians 4, 20 and 21. Just let me read it. Hey, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that I ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory. In the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen? It's to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all transcendent power of God that works beyond anything that you can ask or think, according to the transcendent power of God that works within us. To him be the glory. And here's our prayer as we would close today. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Here's our prayer. Paul writes, we pray for us. Church, we pray for each other. We pray for each other always that God will count us worthy of the calling and fill every desire for goodness in our life and the work of faith with power. So that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in us according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the encouragement of your word today, Lord, that as much as you have told us, encouraged us through your word, and taught us through your word, that we need to put our effort into following you. We need to keep our eyes on you. We need to have a willing heart, a desire, which you have given us in our salvation, that we need to be faithful and committed and persevere and endure, which, again, Lord, the desire has been placed in us in our salvation. That we just bring ourselves surrendered to Christ and we give all effort of ourselves to do what you would ask us to do, to follow you, to live for you, to be a testimony of you. That the truth of it all, Lord, is by your word, what you have taught us today is that your power is active in our life. It's active toward us, in us, through us. You have filled us with all hope of Jesus Christ, the treasure beyond measure of a relationship with you, a restored one, accepted, redeemed, forgiven. In this earthly life, in this temporal life here,
He's given us this in this container that's fragile, that's feeble at times, that's weak. You know all about it. So we would recognize that it's all of you, Lord. It's your strength that we desire. It's you to empower us through our weakness to live for you, to be a testimony of you. And in all of it, Lord, you are manifesting the life of Christ in each one of us in a slow process, in a sojourning of way. I think about Jacob today in the Old Testament, 130 years old, and the next 17 years, God really grew his faith and his commitment to him. You're never done, Lord. You're patient, you're kind, you're gentle, you're gracious. So the psalmist says, when I fall headlong, I get up because the Lord holds my hand. We're so thankful for the life that we have in Christ in this earthly life that we have. We're so thankful that the power of God is working through all of our stumbles and trips, ultimately for gratitude to abound to you and your glory. Lord, help us be people of gratitude and thankfulness. And just throughout the day and throughout this week, Lord, just in our hearts, just say thank you, Lord. I'm grateful for that, Lord. Show yourself strong in our life. Manifest the life of Christ. Lord, let's not hold back our words about the truth of the gospel. We need the light to dispel the darkness, and it seems like it's pretty dark, Lord. It means the light's brighter. Help us to be faithful, to be people that share Christ, to say the answer is Christ and Christ alone. That apart from Christ and faith in Christ, no one is reconciled to God. Knowing that the power of God will stand behind us in the way if we're persecuted or afflicted or whatever that is that would come our way, you would even use that for your glory. So thankful for church today and for the family of God and for our communion with you, Lord Jesus. To come to humble ourselves and to be thankful and remembering that you have rescued us, you have delivered us by your life and your death. Help us live so by our very words and our very deeds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.